Come on. All right. God, our Father, we are thankful. We truly are that you have given us this day. Lord, oftentimes we take your word for granted and we oversimplify its significance. But Lord, this is the day that you have made. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you made it for us. And God, we are going to take full advantage of this day. And certainly, God, we want to lift up and magnify your name. We want to broadcast to the world that we are children of the Most High God. And Father, we just bless your name that you have provided for us all that we could ask, think, or imagine. We are here, and here is right where we want to be. And Lord, your Bible teaches us, and it is absolutely true that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And God, we're not here by accident. We're not here for show. We're not here, Lord, for any other reason but to give you glory and to hear what you are saying to the church. God, we thank you for those who share with us through our outreach opportunities. And certainly, God, we pray that they will settle themselves now in a good place, that they too might hear the voice of the Lord. God, thank you for these, and pray, God, that others would join us along this way. It's a good hour to be with you. And certainly, God, we know that we could not have scripted this for ourselves. It is by your divine will. You reminded us that you had plans for us. And so, God, we just want to peep over into the treasure chest and see what's next. God, keep us motivated. Keep us inspired. Oh, God, keep us on fire, as the old folks say, for the Lord. And certainly, God, we will remember to give you all the praise and the glory. We didn't get here by ourselves, and we don't have to do it by ourselves. We have had the help of the Lord. And so, God, we bless your name. Forgive us again of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy, Lord. We just get silly sometimes and we don't know what to do with ourselves. But Lord, if you'll just be so kind, and we know that you will. We're just saying it because we know you like to hear it. But Lord, have mercy. And God, help us today to do better than we did on yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Let's turn to the book of Job for a second. And I want to give you a reminder of some things we talked about. It's important for us to realize every day that this assignment is going by fast. We don't have a whole lot of time. And can't lollygag. You know, we can't procrastinate, can't be sitting around talking about, well, I'm just going to take care of that tomorrow. We got to do it now. And one of the now things we ought to make sure we do is make our decision for the Lord. The Bible says it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quickly, and not everybody's going to be as fortunate. You know, we're getting ready to move into Passion Week time, and we're going to, somewhere along the line, one of them preachers going to mention those two men on either side of Jesus, but I don't think many of us are going to have that opportunity like the one smart fellow who got invited to paradise instantaneously. I do believe that some people are thinking at the last minute I'll get my chance, but no, I wouldn't put my racehorse money on that one. I tend to go another way and make my decision now. So I want to remind you of something we talked about, and we're going to get into Job's life for a little bit. I think Job is one of the most unique characters, not the most, but one of those unique characters that help us, if we look at him real close, help us to understand that God don't play. You know, now, I mean, you know, God is nice and sweet and all that kind of stuff, but God don't play. And I think somewhere along the line, somebody started telling us that, and it messed us up. Because a whole lot of folk, I don't suggest maybe any of y'all, but I mean a whole lot of folk act like God just plays. You know, they can just say anything, do anything, and go, oh, God, you know. And God going to go, yeah, I know. No, God kind of serious. Y'all didn't hear me. God is serious. God can turn this thing. You know, if let me tell you how serious God is. You know, the world don't sit straight up and down. It's angled about 23 degrees, they say. If it's off 1 degree, we're done. The floods, fire. I mean, if one thing got out of kilter, God's serious. The waters, the earth, how plants grow, and 1 degree would throw it all off. Remember some years ago they were talking about Halley's Comet. Everybody really wanted to see. No, keep that thing away from here. I don't want that rascal coming through here. That thing go off 1 degree, we going to be back to dinosaur days. I don't want to go to Jurassic Park. But, you know, God is serious. And Job's life, I mean, those 42 chapters are interesting. And let me tell you something. When you read the Bible, read it serious. We don't need no casual readers. And I guess I should go back to just say, please read the Bible. That would help. You know, if more of us read the instructions, we do a whole lot better around here. You know, let me tell you why I know that. Because how many of y'all remember when VCRs first came out? And they were about this big. You need 2 people to bring it in the house. How many of y'all remember going to people's house and it's just flashing 12 o'clock? You know why, don't you? They wouldn't read the darn instruction. They were so happy to get a VCR. I mean, this thing size of a darn suitcase. You couldn't even put on an airplane now. It had to go underneath. It couldn't go overhead. And you know, they were happy. They had that new modern. And, you know, some of them, God help you if you had a beta, because they didn't last long. But the VHS, you know, had the bigger tape. And people would, you go to the house, all they wanted to do was do what? Watch movies. I got enough clocks. I don't need no clock. Okay. Well, we all sitting there, our eyeballs are blazing with 12, you know, because we wouldn't read the instructions. How many of you have been in people's cars and identified a feature they didn't even know they had? Because they didn't read the owner's manual. They just turn the key, put the foot on the gas, run a couple red lights, bump into people in the parking lot, and go about their business. They have no idea that their car can do that. And it goes on. It refrigerators. So how many of y'all got microwaves in your house? Remember when the microwave first came out? It was also as big as a small Volkswagen. And now, they for our convenience, they put buttons on that say potato or popcorn, muffin. Well, you know why that is. Right? We were blowing up the microwave and then suing the company. And they said, well, let's just put a button on there. They need to put one in there and say, idiot. Everybody push that. So information, you know, what we know and that kind of thing. But God is serious. And I'm convinced that the hit the pause button, you recording people, the damnable sin of the church is we don't think God's serious. Okay, y'all can hit play again. You know, we act like, you know, we listen, let me tell you something. Tell you something. I'm learning. I'm getting old now. You know, when you get old, you got to get smart. I'm realizing now that I didn't take God serious. I thank God that I fell and bumped my head in time. I'm serious, you know, and see, let me tell you something. We want people to take us serious. Stay with me now. But we don't want to take God serious. How many of you ever told somebody, I ain't playing? You hear me? Okay, you want to take you serious. Your Christian 5 baptized when we heaven said, but you don't take God serious. Let me tell you why I know we don't take God serious. We can pack this church for a funeral, a wedding, a free eating, but when it comes to learning God, we don't take God serious. I don't need to pass up that read no Bible to me. I can read my own Bible. I don't need him to tell me what the Lord's saying. I know what the Lord's saying. Then tell me. You do know if you know, you can say it. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And see, let me tell you something. Here we go. That's why the church don't know how to worship. We don't even know what to say. And then when somebody tell us what to say, we don't take them serious. Here you go again. Well, what is the worth of our relationship with God if we can't worship God? That's just like a husband and a wife. If he don't never buy you nothing, don't never take you nowhere. I ain't getting you no trouble in the I mean, okay. I know him. He don't need me ask you nothing. Well, you know, I do stuff. You know, my baby got Coach bags and diamonds and stuff. You know, so, I mean, what would that make you feel? How would you feel? If they never said thank you or how much I love you. Why do you think God feels? When we got to beg folk to worship him, when we got to beg folk to come to him and beg folk to lift, he probably say, well, after all I've done for them, this is how y'all going to treat me? He's serious. The Bible says he inhabits our praise. He takes residence in praise. He wallows around in it. How many of y'all ever got on a cool mattress in a hotel and just wallowed around because your bed don't feel, your bed all sunk in and stuff? You go to a hotel and get on one of people's bed, you be making snow angels. Come on, y'all, talk back to me. The pillows all flat. You know, they got five pillows, and you call downstairs, which one of these can I use? They say, all of them. And you know, they got the one say firm, soft, go for it. You know, and the reality is we like stuff like that. We like to be pampered and felt like something. Well, so does God. All he wants y'all to do is love him. Because he love you. He told me, go, come back to your first love. Some of us are enamored with the first person that kissed us on the face, made us feel like something. You know, we want to catch that moment forever and the rest of our lives. That's why they make Viagra and Lady Viagra and all that stuff. We're trying to catch what used to be. Can you let used to be go and grab now? You know why most people are not happy now? Because they keep used to being. And if they ain't used to being, they what might be's. Do now. Slap your neighbor hard as you can. Tell him, do now. Y'all ain't slapping nowhere. Y'all ain't gonna shoot. He look back. Thank you, Susan. You and Stalin stay after. Do now. He's serious. So Job helps us in ways that if you take it in, if you really pay attention to what's happening to Job, you'll understand something that'll help your life. Now, let me tell you something else about Job before I go too far. Y'all don't just fall in love with verse 42 in the last few verses thinking that you're going to get everything back. Some of us ain't going to never get it back because God needed to take it in the first place. So, you know, everybody around the ground, the Lord promised me double for my trouble. No, that was Job. You ain't Job. Tell your neighbor, you ain't Job. You don't get everything back. You don't get the kids back to Jesus. You don't get the money back. You don't get the house. You don't, God don't owe you nothing. And we can't keep reading books and want the serious part when it's beneficial to us and tell God, well, you know, Lord, you did it for Job. Yeah, that was Job. And Job's character earned him certain benefits that some of us ain't going to never have. Okay? So let me take you back and remember these. You can write them down again because I don't want you to flip too far. You know, there are these critical parts that I told you about. One is your decision. Second was your determination. Third thing was your devotion. Now, this is your stuff. Don't be looking at nobody. Your dedication, your desire, your discipline, and ultimately, you're going to die. You're going to die. And you know what the Bible says about when you die? Then come the judgment. You're going to answer God. Whether you took him serious or not, and you're going to wish you had, but you're going to answer, all of us going to answer God. You know, I'm not afraid to die anymore. I used to be. Ooh, Father Jesus. The Lord couldn't, if he'd have took me at 22, he'd have had to find me somewhere hiding in the cemetery. I ain't going to talk to him. God calling you. No, he ain't. Me and him ain't got nothing to say. Because I know they're going to tell me, depart from me, you wicked, worthless juvenile. That, you know, I don't want to do like this. So I bumped my head, got smart. But those things I just gave you, and I give them to you again because you want to write them down, it all goes back to the decision that you make. There's a thing in our society called making an informed decision. There's another thing called making a well-informed decision. Categories to that. You know, because some of us are like rabbits. Some of us just jump into anything. Some of us are like deer. We just run across the highway. But you got to make an informed decision, and informed means you've learned. I mean, come on, let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's take this well-known analogy and see if we can make some sense of it. Boy, if I had known back then what I know now. Well, here's the tragedy of that. If you ain't no smarter than you were 20 years ago, you still going to make a dumb decision. Let me tell you something. Getting old and getting smart don't go together. They're not permanently attached to each other. That's why folks say, ain't no fool like an old fool. You know, just, you know, people, oh, I done got old and wise. And that's a lie. I almost said something right then. I'll tell you what kind of lie it is. That's a lie. Just because you got gray hair and can't walk but so fast now, and listen, the reason why you don't get in as much trouble is because you can't make it there. You can't get where the trouble is. I was going to go, but my back started hurting, so we just stayed home. You know, I mean, come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Thank God I'm old, because if I wasn't, I'd have been down. You know, how many of y'all been in them family reunions and cookouts where that old uncle or aunt ain't got no business getting in that electric slide line? And let me show y'all how we used to do it. Grandma, if you don't sit down, just be grandma. Just tell us about it. Don't demonstrate nothing. They be getting out there trying to do the Lindy Hop. Then the hip go out there. Baby, come on, help me back over here. And go in there and get me that liniment. And now everything's smelling like a soybean junior. The whole cookout ruined. You know, I mean, you got to get smarter somewhere. But just because you're old don't mean you're smart. Okay. So it's your decision. And the other thing becomes, if you don't apply yourself to get it done, to do it now, you know, we such good procrastinators. I go next Sunday. I go next Thursday. Oh, the pastor ain't there. I ain't coming. I'll go next. The Lord going to come whether I'm here or not. Whether I preach or not or teach or not or whatever thing might be, you know. You gotta have, and I told you, the core of this is our discipline. Most of us lack discipline. We're so fluffy and wavery. All it takes is the right person to get in our ear. We're going that way now. We haven't read enough. We don't have enough information. And so when people come along and give us misinformation that sounds like good information, you know, the only way to pull off a good fraud is to look like the real thing. Y'all missed that. You can't fool people with stuff that don't even look like the real thing. That's how diamonds, you know, those cubic zirconians, they work real hard on those things. They don't just cut them and go, I'll take this. No. They get back in and they got people with them same little glasses on and they, you know, they want clarity and color. What's the three C's? Clarity, color, and cost. No, I'm just kidding. That's what one of them ought to be. You know, and so, you know, you couldn't sell those things today. You remember when fake gold was a big deal, like in the 80s, everybody was walking around these little big giant fake gold chains from the swap meet? You know, you go out there and they got a wad of it this long and they roll your piece and cut it, put a little clip on it, and everybody, until you sweat it. And then it you know. Come on, y'all know. I mean, everybody had gold. Everybody got gold chain. Mr. T messed up everybody. Everybody walking around, been to the swap meet, bought all that gold. And then tell my child, ooh, and then, ooh. So next week, you got to go back to the swap meet again and get another one. You know, they last about 1 week and stuff like that. So, I mean, you got to be able to present it as if it's the real thing. And so the Bible gives us a hint to this. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right. See, if it don't seem right, you pretty much going to say, that ain't nothing. That's why when false prophets come, they got to be at least somewhat, you know, sound, you know. They can't just promise everybody they're going to open a business. They got to talk about the Lord somewhere and then hold some accountability. And I'll tell you now, if there's anything that you're hanging around that doesn't require accountability, you might ought to say to yourself, this ain't going to work for me because I'm reckless enough. How many of you are willing to admit you're reckless enough on your own? I'm still voting. Oh, okay. And so, you know, vote early and often, that's what they say. And so the reality for us is this. You have to realize that there's somebody I need to look at. You know, there's some reference point. So Job is a good reference point. Verse 1, everybody look at verse 1. Whatever version of the Bible you have, look at verse 1, because that's critical. First of all, I'm going to tell you why it's real critical. None of y'all ain't going to never have that said about y'all. Go on, roll your eyes at me if you want. Ain't none of y'all going to never have nobody say that you upright. Only reason you upright because you ain't laying down. You ain't blameless. You lack integrity. Come on, read it. You don't read it loud. Just read it. You tell me which one of you could put that on your resume. Stay away from evil. Fears God. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced. I pastor a church. Been doing it for a while. I'm convinced that folks sit in God's house don't fear him. I know some of them. You see what it says? That's his introductory line. And for the next 41 chapters, all hell breaks loose in Job's life, and he gets confused about himself. Read it carefully. From the time stuff starts happening, after most things settle down for a minute, after the kids are dead, the house is gone, the farm is gone, the wife is crazy, Job spends the next 39 chapters confused. He forgot all about who he was. Read it when you get a chance. You can't read all of them now. By the time we get to chapter 42, he admits it. He tells God, he said, I had no idea what I was talking about. I don't know nothing. Can you see that? Here's a guy, everybody's talking about the patience of Job. Job really wasn't that patient. Job wanted that to be over with. And you can't blame him. Job wanted that to be over yesterday. The funerals, the financial collapse, my wife getting on my nerve, my friend sitting there, I wish y'all would go home. I'm sure Job told him, y'all don't get the hell out of my house, I don't know. I'm sure he did. They just didn't write that part down. You know, they said, cause good Christian folk gonna mess this up. You tell me, which one of you would let three people sit there and just beat you down day in and day out? If y'all don't get out my house, I ain't asked y'all to come over here. Y'all know, we got this thing now called intervention. Any of y'all ever been intervened on? Don't nobody ask for that. You know, your friends show up by 5 deep. You know, you stand there, you ain't wash your face, you ain't brush your teeth. They came early in the morning because they figured they'd catch you before you go somewhere. And you see, and that's how you start. What the hell y'all doing here? We come to do an intervention for your own good. If y'all niggas don't get off my... Intervention? Intervene this. Boom. Click up, shackle, toot. Doom, 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 doom. You better, we ain't going nowhere. But y'all going to be out there a while. And I'm calling the police. And the police come. Can I help you? These people won't leave my house. We can't do an intervention. I think he asked y'all to, you know, this is going to go bad all day. But how many of you going to put up with somebody more than 20 minutes? Most of us, as soon as we realize it's personal, we walk away. We leave. I ain't got to listen to you. And people be following you down. No, you know, look, you better get from behind me. And next thing you know, somebody in society who want, y'all ever watch that program, What Would You Do? Man, listen, they better not never try me on that one. They better not. I am not the guy for, what his name, Qonus or whatever. He better hurry up and tell me who he is. Because as soon as somebody start tripping, listen, I can't be in a restaurant around folk misbehaving. My wife be holding my hands. Don't you say nothing. I can't stand bad behavior. Especially from children's. So, okay, so here it is. I'm trying to help. Here's a guy who has, I like this, a definite pedigree assigned to him by the most recommended of all the land. That's what God said about him. Go to verse 8. Look at verse 8. Move down to verse 8. Job 1, verse 8. And look, that's what God said. God said, this guy is highly recommended. God said, and then God did. Here's what most of y'all can't stand. Y'all don't mind the God said. Y'all just don't like it when it's the God did. Especially when God don't do what you want him to do. Let me tell you something. God don't owe you nothing. Me, you, and you, nobody else. We owe him everything. And that's what's wrong with the church. We got this twisted mentality that we're supposed to sashay up here make our request known to God, and then he's supposed to ship it UPS overnight. And if he don't get it to us then and right early, he ain't no good to us no more. I just got to take care of myself. I got to do what I got to do. How many of y'all have heard somebody say, I just got to do what I got to do? What you need to do is go sit down somewhere and do what Isaiah said, wait on the Lord. Let me see if we can get you to vote one more time. How many of you are willing to admit that if you had waited on the Lord, you wouldn't have gone through some of the foolishness you went through? Still waiting on two of y'all to vote. Yeah. Ain't no need us playing this thing here. You got in what you got in because you didn't wait. Here's another one. Let's vote one more time. How many of you are willing to admit that if you had listened to God? What that man named Jess say, Mom, you voting twice. Good, 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 good. You get to move all the way to the front right here. Come sit with the first lady. You know, Jess, song time. Mama told me not to come. Don't you go down there. That little song we sang in the military, Mama told Sally not to go downtown, too many soldiers hanging around. You know, next thing you know, Sally's not, you know, and that kind of thing. It's a story. Mama told Sally not to go. You know, we do it the same. But the point is this. Hard heads make. Mm-hmm. You didn't listen to God. That's why I told you, you got to read that book and read the book seriously. Songtime, Jess. God trying to tell you something. Maybe God is trying. Sure, Gabriel got it. Sure, Gabriel opened the juke joint. Sing her little, sister, you been on my mind. And she heard that little girl singing. And the little guitar, old Lawrence Fishburne, on it. They got stuff. Sure did. You know, whenever you do that, I got to go. And down the street she went. And everybody else from the juke joint went with her. Why? Because they ain't been to church either. I wish Suge Avery belonged to Greater Brookville. The population of the church went up 100-fold because one witness knew God was trying to tell her something. Boy, I'm preaching already. All it takes is one decision and you don't want to change your life, but you change the life of people around you. That's why I know we in trouble, because too many of our folk ain't making no decisions. We ain't taking God serious. We ain't taking God serious. And the day gonna come, and it's here, that if we don't become more decisive, more determined, more disciplined, more devoted, more dedicated, when we die, we going to hell. See, church, don't get excited about that. Everybody talking about heaven. Grandma was right. I don't know where she got that from. Job's life is interesting. So here it is. Here it is. A couple points to make. First of all, understand this. You don't get to ask for it. What? You don't get to ask for it. Job didn't ask for it. Bible says he was minding his business. Job didn't go in there and say, y'all write a book about me. No, it's reality. Most of us are not good examples of Christian life. I'll tell you why I know that. Because if you were, then your witness and your credibility, your following, your ability to make more disciples, this church would be packed. Something wrong with y'all witness. All y'all. Anybody talking to me now? Everybody, I wish he'd go back on vacation. I ain't going nowhere. Most of us are not good witnesses. We're not good, you know, we don't make good advertisement. Most of us ain't going to never be on no poster for Christian growth. And all. No. Because you're not a good witness. And you know it. Man, like what I just said, now the deep revelation, you're just going to fall out your chair. You know, no, you know it. You know it, and the people around you know it. So now we know it, and ain't nothing going to happen no different till we take God serious. Okay? Now, Job, you like him. Again, he didn't ask for it. So, you know, not like he like sent an email up to heaven. If y'all looking for somebody to write a story about, because some of us don't mind promoting ourselves when it's convenient to be promoted. And stick with that one. Let it simmer. Because you have no problem promoting you. You know, we dress the part. We audition. You know, we audition all the time. How many of you have ever gone to a job interview? That's an audition. How many of you ever gone on a first date? That's an audition. How many of you, you know, so I can go down the list. Okay, how long I got to do this before y'all get it? We like the audition. It's the real part that messes up. How many of you sisters can tell me that he auditioned a whole lot better than he was authentic? Oh, when he dated you, oh, he was Jerry Butler, Jess, song time. Yeah, I wine and dine you. Take anywhere you want to go. Oh, but when the night is over, you just may not see me no more. It's a one night affair. That's Jerry Butler. And we went for an audition. Ooh, child, he took me to a five-star restaurant. Child, and then he don't call. Or he married you. And boy, look at here. You wish you had listened to the preacher when he said, is there anyone here? You would have said, you know what, Reverend Mean? The whole church would have went in. Come on, you would have said, you know, the preacher, is there anyone here that thinks these two? You say, excuse me, Reverend, wait a minute, hold on a minute. No, I'm going. You know, that you'd have been better off. He auditioned well. I mean, come on, talk back to me. People audition well, but they can't perform. They come in slick as oil, smooth as mud. And when the reality start to come out, because you can't, my grandmother used to say this, baby, wherever you find him at, that's where you ought to start looking for him.
That's right.
That means if you found him in the street, when you ain't home, go back in the street. And then grandma had this one, don't start nothing you can't keep doing. You know, that flowers every Friday. You know, what happened when the economy go bad? You can't buy them flowers. She going to go, well, he can get my flowers today. Grandma said, don't, you know, grandma said, if you're going to be cheap, stay cheap. She was right. If you're going to be cheap, stay cheap. Because ain't no need of, listen, we audition well. But we don't, just like in the church, we come down with tears and supplication. Want the church to pray for us, man of God, lay hands on us. We want to give it over. We confess. And next Sunday, we don't come back. We get in choirs. We get on ministries. We join the usher bowl. We do all that, and then we can't keep it up. Why? It was fake. We're not authentic. Again, we lack integrity. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't taking God serious. There ain't no way you're taking God serious with that kind of carrying on. Look at us. The Bible says, let your word be your bond. Came out of your mouth. And then we get mad when people remind us, well, you said that. I was caught up in the third world, whether in the spirit or out, I don't know. You know, now we're going to quote scripture. I don't read that stuff out of you. Here's the problem. We see it. You see it. But you don't want to do nothing about it. I could write a book on how many folk done lied to me in the Holy Ghost name about ministry, servitude, what I'm going to do next. I've seen the light. I'm coming in, Pastor. Okay, come on in. But there's a revolving door in this church somewhere, and I can't find it. I wish I knew that door. I'd lock that summer gun. She'll help me, Jesus. barricade. I'd have the trustees put some steel bars, because once I got you in, I ain't letting you go out. But y'all, come on, we auditioned so well. We cry, oh, I done seen the light. Till another light come on. The light of wealth, the light of opportunity. I done heard folk put more lies on God. Because we don't take him. I wouldn't lie on God. You know, if you take God serious, you wouldn't lie on God. You wouldn't lie on the Holy Ghost. I prayed about it, and it's just what the Lord told me to do. First of all, let's go back to that part where it says he's not the author of confusion. Because if you join the church one Sunday and get on a ministry and then quit, that's confusing. How do you resign from God? You know what Acts 17 said, don't you? Verse 38, I think it's 17:30. Well, Acts 17. I know it's in Acts 17. 28. One of them, H. In him, we live, move. How do you resign from God? How do you take a break? How do you not show up? If you got a job, if you don't show up, what's going to happen? You get fired. And without cause. They don't have to explain nothing. How do you not come to church every Sunday? How do you not keep learning? You educator people, y'all school moms and stuff. Don't y'all have a requirement that on that book somewhere that says student must make so many days? How do you not love and learn and listen to God? And you say you're a Christian. And first of all, can I tell you, and I've said this before, I'm going to run out of time. I've said this before. Being a Christian is not an option. We owe God that. From the day mama spit us out and said, ooh, bless you, and they turn you on your hand and send you on your way, your mama, you mothers, let me work on y'all for a second. You have a gift from God that must quickly be returned to God. You fathers have been told what to do. Read the book. How are you going to opt out? You want to opt in and then opt out. You want God to put food on your table and clothes on your back, car in the driveway, bill, pay all your bills. But then you want to, I ain't going to church every Sunday. I can't praise God. I can't sing every Sunday. I can't worship every Sunday. I can't be the video guy every Sunday. I can't turn the lights on every Sunday. Well, you doing it in your house. But you can't come serve in his house. You got other obligations more pressing than God. Are you crazy? Yes, you are. Can I start pastoring like I want to? Can I start saying to some people the stuff I want to say? Would you let me, can I keep my job, Deacon McKenzie, can I just finally be honest? Can I finally put my foot where I want it? Because I'm tired of this. It don't make no sense to me. Every time I go out and look at other churches and talk to other pastors, it drives me crazy to come back around a bunch of liars and frauds. And then looking at me, he want too much. He too demanding. I hadn't scratched the surface. Because you won't take God serious. You're going to get angry with me trying to enlighten you, and you complain about being in the dark. I just don't get it. My daddy said, the more I teach y'all, the dumber I get. What's wrong with the church? How can you ask God to lead and guide and you won't follow? How can you ask him to teach you when you don't want to learn? And then complain about ignorance. And listen, ignorance has devastating effects on the people. If we had known. If someone had told us. You remember that unit right along in the chariot? Philip comes alongside and said, what's up? He said, chilling. What you got right there? A good book. What are you reading? He said, well, I've been reading. He said, but I have no man to help me. Philip said, well, I'm kind of tired. If you stop, we can get a soda and we can sit down and talk about this because I'm thirsty. And he said, okay. Whoa, chariot. And Philip helps him. Now, we don't know what happened after that, but I have a clue. My spiritual imagination says that that man's life changed. That's why I'm not impressed when I see people walking around with Bibles and tablets and smart devices. If you ain't reading it, it ain't helping you none, because we don't take God serious. Okay. So Job's life. Okay, let me open it up. Job's life is not your life. Every character in the Bible is written for us as a model or an example. You know, because there's a little David in us, there's a little Job in us, there's a little Saul in us, there's a little Solomon. You know, all these ladies. There's some Esther and some Naomi. You know, all these people are in us. Y'all remember the movie Sybil? Sybil had all them people in her. You know, not all of them were good. Now, a couple of them people in Sybil were pretty good people. You know, they were kind, studious, you know. But all of us got, so we look at these people as reference points. You say, okay, man, that's why we get that, if I had the patience of Job. Because people are saying, well, and again, Job really wasn't all that patient. But okay, we'll give it to you, this church language. We don't mess up everybody's theology. But the reality is, he made a decision before we met him. He was obviously determined before we met him. He was dedicated before we met him. You see all them things I gave y'all. Here's the reality for us. You cannot be what you don't want to be, even when you're trying to tell yourself that you want to. Isn't that simple? I'm so smart. Thank you very much. Because, you know, we say stuff like, well, you know, Pastor, I want to be a better servant. I want no, you don't. And if I said that to you, Dean McKenzie has authorized me now to start saying what I want. So from now on, when people tell me that lie, I'm saying, no, you don't. When they tell me, Sister Darlene, Pastor, I'm going to start coming every Sunday, I'm going to say, no, you're not. Amen. When they say, Pastor, I'm going to start tithing, I'm going to say, no, you're not. Amen. When they say, I love the Lord, I'm going to say, no, you don't. Because it's evident, until you really want it, you don't want it. And we'll know when you want it. Let me tell you, there's a certain tenacity. There's a certain look. There's a certain attitude that comes over people when they want it. And it's unmistakable. There's a drive. There's a mindset that kicks in that becomes obvious. And that's what I believe the Lord is sitting on that porch waiting to look at us and say, now they got it. Now they're serious. See, and that's what Job did. Now, again, because we don't get to meet him when he was doing his Bible study and that kind of stuff. We don't know. All we know is the first time we meet him, this is what they said. Verse 1, chapter 1. He was perfect. Old King James Version said he was perfect. Now, again, he wanted it. Because them same three friends that came by that day and sat with him from chapters 29, whatever, when they started talking to him, they've been around him all the time. That's why they could say what they said, because they said, you know, something ain't right now. Because we know, you've always been so studious and faithful and so Job. You got to want it. And you can't want anything else. Remember, let's go back. Let's go back to the Genesis letter when we heard this about God. He's jealous. He don't want nobody in front of him. God don't want you seeing nobody else. God don't want you listening to nobody else. Sometimes Jennifer Hudson said, am I a prisoner in this thing called love? Is that why you don't want me to go nowhere? That's why you don't want me to talk to nobody? Because she said, I don't like living in your spotlight. She's saying, am I, because you really love me, or because you don't want nobody to have me? Stay with me here. Are we in church because we really want God, or we just want God's protection? Are we here because we really love him, or because we just want him to love us? Are we really here to lift him up, or we just want him to get us out of some mess? See, we need to get serious. Why are we here? What do we want? Moreover, watch this, preacher. We should mature now to a point where it's not so much what we want from God, but what we want to give him. Sometimes, Jess, all of me. Why not take all of me? Can you give God that? Or have you got some reserve somewhere else? See, nobody talking to me now. Deacon McKenzie said, I can do this. What do you want? Why is it that what we want is all we ever come to the altar with, rather than what we're about to give? We let our requests be made known to God. How about this? Give him you. Ain't nobody talking to me now. You ain't taking God serious. Now, why do I know that? Because if you read that book, you will discover that's all he's ever wanted. Was you. And all he said, commit thy way. How did we miss that, Reverend? How? How did the church turn into the Condé Nast of Christianity? You know, Club Med. We just chilling by the pool, drinking mojitos and Long Island iced teas, and God is looking at us. And who is that? Whose child is that? Ain't mine. He loves you. And you know that. And we play that. These moments we have are not long. They're not long. This guy is a good reference point. But the reality is, we messed up right here. We have listened to the wrong people. We have engaged in the wrong relationships. We have lost our way. And it is a terrible thing to get lost and call it something that it's not. Can I give you one of the biggest examples of that? Christopher Columbus. How many of you know that in reality, Christopher Columbus got lost and called it, went back and told Queen Isabella a lie, that he had discovered a new land? Now, how it got the name America is interesting, but anyway, he was lost. And now, for history's sake, we make up little rhymes and ditties. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and all that kind of stuff. He was lost. And thus begins the lie of a nation. See, anybody think, everybody give me that, Pastor went to history class. I did. But a lie. How about this one? Fountain of youth. Ponce de Leon discovered the fountain of youth. Ain't no fountain of youth. The Bible says man born of a woman has but a few days. And the next thing they said about it makes the whole thing difficult. And those days are full of trouble, sorrow, setbacks, lying, thieving folk who look in my face and stand in his church and lie to him. Man born of a woman. Ain't got long, but we think we do. That's why we can come some Sundays and not come the next Sunday. We can tithe maybe not. We'll worship if I feel like it or like that song. We'll go to rehearsal if we're up to it, or if we don't, we don't. We'll show up for our assignments if we feel like it. We got something else to do, let somebody else do it. But you promised him that I. Y'all ain't talking to me. How you going to serve God selectively? I grew up in the old church, Brother Trustee, where if there's one thing I remember about the old church that I grew up in, it was AME church. We shouldn't let the AMEs outdo us. But if there's one thing I remember about them stewards and deacons and such and the old saints then, they were on their jobs. While I was writing these notes, I didn't want to lie to myself and I didn't want to lie to y'all. But I had a hard time remembering. Now mind you, I left my mother's AME church. It ain't her church, but I left the AME church when my aunt drug me over to the Baptist church, and my mother wasn't happy ever since. But the years that I was there, I stayed there until I was about 11. I remember pretty much 11. I cannot remember the deacon section not being full. I can't remember the mother's board not being full. I can't remember people not being, the little guy that sat right here, you know, and the acolyte, everybody, they were always there. I can't remember coming to church and all the preachers wasn't in the pulpit. I don't remember that. I don't ever remember coming into church and it looked like this. It was always full. And I was a child. I can't remember when people didn't love God and did their jobs. We had an old church sexton. God help me for not remembering that man's name. But that man was always there with a mop bucket, a broom, or whatever it took. He was ready to go to work. Soon as something happened in church, anybody had to go, Brother so-and-so, there's a spill. As soon as he got the word, he would go. He wasn't humiliated. He did it in a suit. He was there ever since little kids used to get sick and stuff like that. He didn't go, well, that's your child. That man would, boom, spring into action like he was a superhero. The ushers, there was always, looked like 30 ushers was everywhere. Leaning in going, shh. God knows they tell your mama on you. Oh, spies. I'm going to tell your mama after church if you live. But look at us now. What? We're not taking God serious. I turn the lights on if I want to. I ain't the only one who can go up there and turn the lights on. What are you looking at me for? But you promised him that I. And here's what we do now. Here's a new trick. I didn't say I was going to be there every Sunday. So we think now because we didn't say it that God doesn't expect it. Woo! I'm trying not to do it. I promised him that I. How can you do that? Last week, y'all know me. I'm in Daytona. Me and my God brother having fun. So by mistake, and I don't know how I did it, but I did it. Excuse me. By mistake, I ordered tickets to the Daytona 500. I don't go to the Daytona. I go to all the other stuff. I go to the duels. I go to the truck race. The car race on Saturday, but Sunday I'm going to church. And so when I order my tickets, I always do the old download print at home thing. And so for some reason, it kept kicking me out of the system. This is the Lord. I gave credit to the Lord for this. It kept kicking me. It wouldn't let me download my tickets. So I said, that's all right. I got my little smartphone. You know, I can know it. So, Wednesday night, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I need to get my tickets and all this stuff so I can make sure I download. You know, so I went over to my sister's house. She got a computer. I said, I went down. And it kept, so I said, ooh. Halala shandala mutala. So I called the office. So this little guy named Miguel, get on the phone, you know, Daytona International Speedway. This is Miguel. How may I help you? I said, Miguel, this is Dr. Mitchell. I said, my client number is, because, you know, I've been in the system. He said, how can I help you today? He said, oh, I said, you have 500 tickets. Congratulations, because we're sold out. I said, no, you got the wrong guy. He said, excuse me? I said, no, excuse me. I said, I got dual tickets, truck tickets, Xfinity tickets. He said, no, you got 500 tickets. Now, I realized when I ordered them, and now y'all don't take this the wrong way, please. In fact, Melvin, hit the pause button, because I don't want nobody to hit it. And don't you, hit the pause button on the podcast. Put one of them things up and say, we'll be back in a minute. Let me tell you, the money don't matter to me. And I thank God. That's where I am. I thank God. So when I bought them, I didn't, whatever it costs, I'm like, okay, you know, I hit the little thing. Okay, we can play again. So the issue is, I paid. I thought, okay, I'm good. Because I know what I ordered. He said, well, he said, Dr. Mitchell, he said, when you place your order, you cancel your Xfinity truck and dual tickets. He said, but you processed your 500 tickets. I said, well, how did that happen? He said, I don't know. I said, well, look here, Hoss. That's my word when things got to get serious, Hoss. I said, look here, Hoss. We're going to have to fix that. He said, no problem, Dr. Mitchell. He said, you're on our client list. He said, what would you like? I said, I need tickets for blah, blah. He said, no problem. He clickety, clickety, click. He said, can I put you on a brief hold? I said, how long does brief last? And he said, that's interesting. Nobody's ever asked me that. I said, well, tell me how long you're going to be gone by estimate. So I know. He said, I should be gone about 5 minutes. I said, okay, you got five. So anyway, everything worked out. So here's my point. So we're down there, me and my God brother, and he says, hey, man. We're chilling at the condo. He said, man, let's go to the 500. I said, mm-mm. He said, man, we here. We can get tickets, all these scalpers. I said, mm-mm. I said, because I go to church on Sunday. And I don't care who races. My mama could be driving one of them cars. And I'm going to have to watch her on TV. I lift up and magnify the Lord on Sunday. Now, I might goof off on some other days, but this is the day of the Lord. So he said to me, and one of the best things he could have said to me, he said, man, you really are serious about that church stuff. I said, no, I'm not serious about church stuff. I said, because as a pastor, you don't want me to tell you about church stuff, but I'm serious about the Lord. So, you know, I don't miss no church. I don't miss no Bible studies. I don't miss reading my Bible. I don't miss praying for y'all. I take all that stuff serious. And see, some of y'all, let me go. Dig McKenzie said I can do this now. Some of y'all get mad at me about caring for you. So when I say stuff to you, ain't only you rolling your eyes and getting mad when I ask you about your accountability, about your service, about your tithe, about your family. It's because, listen, what good does it mean to keep praying for you if I'm not going to approach you about what I'm praying for? Amen. You can't be asking me to bless your family and pray for your strength and pray for your healing and pray for your welfare. And then when I approach you about the things that I think are interfering with your healing, your welfare, and your family, you're going to roll your eyes at me and say, I don't need you to do all that. You can't stop me from being your pastor. I know the role of a pastor. I don't need you to ask me to do it. It's my responsibility to feed these sheep and to cover these sheep and to go get these sheep. So when I show up at your house, don't be looking at the people all the time, what he doing here? I'm coming to get my sheep. I thank you for letting me be who I want to be. It don't make no sense to me that we ain't serious. I've seen some of the hell y'all done come out of. I've seen you go from unemployed to well-employed. I've seen you go from broken marriage to good marriage. And then you gonna not take God serious? No. No. And so it is. Oh, my time is almost up. It's really. Job's life is an example. Look at it. Look at the decision he made before you met him. His determination, his devotion. In all of it, he never stopped thinking God. Not thinking. He kept, listen to his conversation. Read it when you get a chance. He was talking about God. He was talking about things. He said, maybe I misunderstood. You know what he said? Maybe I missed something. If you read it, he's saying, what part of this relationship with the holy God did I miss? And you know what he did? He didn't just walk away. He dug deeper. That's why he sat there and he said, what happens when the sun goes up and how does the moon work? He said, this God is supposed to be doing something. How does he go away? How does he sleep? How does he not notice what's happening to me? That's digging deep. That ain't throwing no tantrum. No, I ain't going to church no more. God killed my children. God took my cows. You know what Job knew? Well, none of that stuff mine anyway. Amen. Can I tell you how to ease your pain? Don't take other people's property. Don't get attached to other people's stuff. That's God's stuff. That's why the cars and the houses, I don't care. Don't bother me none. You know why? Because I brought nothing. And concerning and considering where I started, this is pretty darn good. A Walmart suit, tie, and shoes is pretty good considering where I started. Now, I tell you, the designer labels ain't bad. But let me tell you something. Look at him. We don't take God serious. And can I tell you something? Wives, husbands, fathers, mothers, until you take God serious, you ain't going to take your husband serious. You ain't going to take your wife serious. You ain't going to take your children, because you cannot do any of it without him. Back to Acts 17. In him, you live, you move, and have your... If you take God out, you take all of it out. That's why the divorce rate is off the chain. That's why we're killing people over 2 cents. Man, walk into a job and just start shooting people. The fool made a video showing himself practicing. What is wrong with us? We don't take God serious. People belong to God. You can't kill God's people and go unpunished. Forget what the prison going to do. Forget the executioner. It's the day that he stands before God, he's going to find out what it's really all about. And everybody going to stand before God. You better take him serious. I ain't saying you can't laugh. I'm not saying you can't go to Las Vegas. The Bible says eat, drink, and be merry. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but you better take God serious. And if there's one thing that is an indicator of taking God serious, it's commitment to his way. Ain't nobody talking to me now, Ms. Woodson. They all looking around now to see that young lady walking in with her baby. I think y'all appreciate distractions, especially when I'm teaching hard. Y'all be waiting, Lord, let somebody come in here, please. Let the lights blink or the air go off. Give me something to keep him from looking at me. Help me, Holy Ghost, you're saying. I am the help of the Holy Ghost. We ain't taking God serious. Job proves that dedication is a necessity. Listen, you can't opt in and opt out at your convenience. Look at this room. My church informers sent me text messages and phone calls last week, and I was hurt when I heard what went on around here. When my trustee sent me my financial report, I was hurt. I'm not God. This church should not waver because the pastor's car ain't in his spot. And that stuff tells me we ain't serious. I got mad. Monday morning when I got my update phone call, I got mad. I said, ooh, Lord, be a fence all around me. Don't let me get in my car and drive back to Lynchburg. Now, mama need me. Harabashandala. It don't make no sense for us not to take God serious. You can't just take God serious because I preach or because I teach, because I don't do Bible study. Ain't no Bible study. I mean, what? We something wrong here. You know what it told me? We ain't taking God serious. Me and my friend, my pastor friend and I sat down and had dinner Sunday night. About 4 of us, we sitting there talking. And these guys, you know, they've done good works for the Lord. And I was humbled, hurt, and also somewhat put upon because I'm sitting there. And I can't brag about my church, the Lord's assignment church, you know. I'm sitting there watching, you know, I went to church, one of my buddies, and at 10 o'clock, they start church at 10 o'clock, the parking lot was packed. The sanctuary was, there wasn't no moving around milling at 10, 15, 10. They were in church. They were early. I stood there and I said to myself, this is something. I mean, their church seats 1,500 people. It had to be 1,490 in there. And they were praising God. The praise ministry was up there, and they wasn't the only ones singing. The whole church was singing. The praise ministry was just kind of lead, but they were doing a little thing on the board, you know, and all the musicians were in their place, and they didn't move. When you know, I caught the tail end of I guess their Christian Academy version, and the pastor don't teach it. One of the associates was out there teaching, and I think he told me they rotated, you know, because he said I'm back there, you know, drinking hot tea and stuff, you know, and I said, oh, that's cool. I said, Doc, if I don't go out, I don't know what's gonna happen, you know. And so I'm saying, you know, I'm watching. Because the guy came, he said, well, Doc, you know, they know me now. He said, Pastor, I said, no, I want to get some of this right here. And I sit in the back. People had their Bibles open, never closed them. They were saying amen and hallelujah in church school. The musicians were up there doing church school with their Bibles open. I said to myself, this is different. I did the Arsenio Hall. Is it me or is it them? I put it on them. I said, no, it's them. And then after the service, well, during the service, they worshiped. Every time the praise ministry got up, people just stood up. They didn't wait to get a moment. Soon as the praise, they just stood up and started, you know, they were. I'm looking around, you know, I said, worship. Amen. They weren't sitting there being entertained. They worshiped. Amen. When the pastor came up to preach, they went to woo, clapping for the word, clapping. I said, what is wrong with these people? Then the Holy Ghost said, ain't nothing wrong with them. Hey, Sister Nalman, ain't nothing wrong with them. The Lord said in my spirit, this is what I love. A people who worship me without entertainment value. Good preacher, my friend, the preacher. He'd offered me a chance to preach. I told Doc, I just want to be preached to today. He said, man, come on, man. My folk love you. I said, your folk love me. I said, that made me think right there. He laughed, you know. But my point is this. We got to take God serious. You can't take God serious with a casual approach to God. What are they going to learn if you don't take God serious? They watch you opt in, opt out, pretend, play, goof off. What do you think going to happen to them? What do you think? What do you think? I'm telling you now, and I know I've taken up much of my time, but here's the fallback. I'm the pastor. You not. Here it is. Dick McKenzie has just given me authority to do anything I won't do in the righteous way of the Holy Ghost. Here's the point. The parts of your life that you take serious, are they not the most fruitful parts of your life? Think about it. Can I say it again? The parts of your life that you take serious, are they not the most fruitful parts of your life? My friend, Sister Nolan is here. Sister Nolan, if you don't mind, when they told you you had cancer, didn't you take it serious? Didn't you do everything in your power to win? She took it serious. She didn't go, well, I ain't going to worry about it. I'm just going to let the Lord do. No, she got in. Look at her. She took it. She said, Pastor, I'm going to be praying. You know, we sat down. Me and Miss Nala had some good visits. She's a comfortable person to visit. We sat there and talked about everything and everybody. I mean, everything. But I knew she was serious, and I got serious. And we prayed, and she was confident. Her hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. She dare not trust the sweetest. So when you take it serious, look at the results. See? When you went to college, there, Sister Anderson, were you an Anderson when you went to college? You hadn't gotten married yet, were you in college? No. But didn't you take it serious? When your friends goofed to class, you went to class. Now look at you. You're fruitful. You have a degree. You have a job. May not be altogether totally happy. But I got some preaching for you today on that thing. But you're going to leave here with a different thought about that thing. But the reality is this. When you take it serious, does it not produce? Those of you who are mothers, you weren't always a mother, but when you became a mother and you started being a mother, you took it serious. Look at the fruit now. Some of you are going to stand in the back of the room, the Walkers, Mrs. Walker, and I trust God that this is a not such as a prophetic utterance, but so much as a promise that I believe God can do. 5 times you'll get to stand in some college or university and watch your children. Why? Because you're going to take them. You're pushing. Every mother wants to stand there someday and look at their child and go, that's my baby. Some father's going to cry at his daughter's wedding. He ain't going to want nobody to see it. He's going to try to act like he got something in his eye. You know, but he wants that because he wants to be fruitful. How many of you remember when your first grandchild was born? You thought to yourself, I made this and they made that. And it doesn't. You can be the most hateful person, but there's something about fruitfulness, reproduction that gets to all of us. Think about. Come on now, don't make me work this hard. It's something about fruitfulness that makes all of us get a little lump. Makes us say to ourselves, "Wow." And that's what God's trying to do. And he shouldn't have to try this hard because we won't take him serious. When you take a thing serious, that's where the fruit comes in. God help us that we don't take this serious. In him, I live. I move. Have my pen. I ain't got nothing else. I didn't bring nothing in and I can't take nothing out. But this is it for me. Amen. Yes. And my labor shouldn't be in vain. Amen. I shouldn't have to work this hard to grow this church. Because people won't take God serious. I don't care if you don't understand me. I don't care if you don't understand my passion. It ain't got nothing to do with you anyway. I can pass to anybody. It's for him. I'll just take what comes along with it, but it's for him. And that's why I can keep doing it. But you can't tell me that we're serious when we are so pathetic in all our areas, or at least not as profitable as we can be. And profitable ain't got nothing to do with this. It's got to do with this. Our children deserve better. Our husbands, our wives. More than any of it, God deserves better. Look at Job. He had it. He was committed. He, of all the crazy stuff that happened, he still talked to the Lord. Look at it, read it. He never stopped having a little talk with Jesus. Job was trying to make that thing all right. Job said, how can the sun keep coming up if ain't no God? How did the tide stay on schedule if there's no God? How does this happen? Where is he? Then he throws out a little confidence. Every now and then his confidence came up. He said, I do know this. When I have been tried, when all this foolishness is over, nudge your neighbor and say, I'm coming to that day. When all this foolishness it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. I shall come forth. You know what he's saying? I may fall behind, but I won't stop. I may fall down, but you ain't going to leave me. I shall come forth. You know what he's saying? I'm going to keep picking them up and putting them down. I'm coming back next Sunday. I'm coming back next Thursday. I'm going to still let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because I shall come forth. And my value is not in what I drive. It's not in where I live. But it's in my relationship. I belong to him. And I took him serious. From my mother's womb, he knew me. Knew you and you and you and you. And everybody's struggle ain't the same. Everybody's victories ain't the same. Sometimes we get twisted and say, well, Lord, because you did it for her. God is not going to do everybody the same. Some folk going to have arthritis till they leave here. Some folk going to have chronic problems till they leave here. It's no less God, but a greater God. Because the more I need him, the bigger he got to be. Some folk ain't never been through nothing. That's why God don't mean nothing. But all I know is this. He is my help. And he won't let me down. Don't feel sorry for me because I got this, that, or the other. Look at me because I got this, that, and the other. And every day you see me coming forth is a praiseworthy day. I know what I'm... Look at him. Sitting there with boils and stench and still talking to God. He didn't say, I can't talk to God because I ain't got a suit to put on, or I can't come before God because I got an ailment. He said, come on and let me talk to you. And when God sits down with him and schools him, he doesn't get mad and go, well, you ain't have to talk to me like that. Job's in chapter 42, we'll get to it when we're going to study a little deeper. Job said, I said stuff I had no idea what I was talking about. I tried to interpret things that were beyond my reasonability. God, forgive me. When God looks at him and says, where were you? And then God throws a loop and says, and if you were there, tell me how. Tell me when and tell me why. And before Job can talk again, God said, you don't know what you're talking about, do you? You know why? Because Job took him serious. See, you can't tell me You can't live like that. You can't fool me that you're taking God serious when we see what we see.